Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. By the way, all sorts of stories on quarterbacks and where they're going. The Carson Wentz thing could happen very soon. So, top of next hour, we're going to play quarterback dominoes. There's a report about Deshaun Watson this morning that's got a little teeth to it. There's a Russell Wilson rumor I don't think has any teeth to it, but we'll play quarterback dominoes in 1 hour from now. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you on a Tuesday?
I'm great. Happy Fat Tuesday. Doesn't have quite the same flair it usually does, but this is my New Orleans trip every year this time of year. So we're in L.A. right now, but...
Yeah, I haven't been in New Orleans in years.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite place.
Is it? I want to start with this. So I see a lot of stories, and most of the time I think there's credibility. I don't think the media just makes stuff up. Sometimes in the political media, I think people have agendas. But generally in the sports media, there's no reason to be wrong on something. You wouldn't risk your career on being wrong on something. But I do think people get fed information that's sometimes erroneous or misguided. And I got nothing against Mary Kay Cabot. She's great. I've talked about her before on the show for Cleveland. But I don't buy this story for a second. J.J. Watt seriously considering the Browns as one of his options. I don't buy it for a second. There's a lot of information getting fed out there. And I'll tell you why. So there's 7-8 teams that have been mentioned. I'll just mention them to you. Green Bay, Kansas City, Cleveland, Buffalo, Colts, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. You know, they're all... have their pluses and minuses. The two obvious places to go would be Green Bay and Kansas City, not just because of Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, but these are organizations that win consistently all the time, W's, and compete for playoffs. The second thing to remember with J.J. Watt, he's not going to take a huge salary. So he may have a contract structured where he makes a lot of money based on sacks. He may have some nice bonuses. Well, which teams in the NFL lead more than any other teams in the NFL? Kansas City and Green Bay. Meaning J.J. Watt in the second half is on a defense that is pass rushing an opponent that's trailing. So this makes sense for J.J. Watt. If I was J.J. Watt's agent, you want to play for the Packers? You want to play for the Chiefs? Because nobody's going to, he's an older player. He's been banged up. He's not going to get a huge salary. He could have huge bonus opportunities based on sacks and production. So you want to play for a team that is often in the lead and you can pin your ears back and go get sacks and hits and hurries and fumbles and all that stuff. But here's why I don't buy Cleveland. Listen, it's funny about the NFL, but for the last 30 years, what I'm about to say has happened every time. But every year I suggest this, people freak out. For the last 30 years, every year, four teams that made the playoffs don't. And that means four new teams do. I know I'm going to suggest this. Cleveland's not going to make the playoffs. By the way, pom-pom waivers, I've nailed Cleveland in the last several years. Last year, a lot of doubters, rookie coach. No preseason. I said, no. Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they can win a game, but they're going to make the playoffs. I was right. Year before, oh, my God, Freddie Kitchens. I said, grease fire. Won't work. Mess. I was right there, too. In fact, last year, I was 7-for-7 on AFC playoff teams. I often wear a robe around Fox Sports that just says, AFC King, Uncle Colin. You think of me as the Herd. I'm known as AFC King, Uncle Colin. So four teams that made the playoffs last year are not going to make the playoffs. And I'm going to give you two of them. The Saints, who are in salary cap hell and won't be as good at quarterback, and Cleveland. And that's nothing against Cleveland. But I'll give you two numbers that are hard to argue yourself out of. Put the pom-poms down. Cleveland last year had a negative point differential and made the playoffs. Virtually impossible. Virtually impossible. The Washington football team that we all rolled our eyes that made the playoffs had a positive point differential. Cleveland had a negative point differential, meaning they got rolled a lot. And also, Cleveland, eight of their wins came against DREC, teams that were 32-78-1 in the NFL, meaning Cleveland beat a lot of bad teams. They beat a lot of bad teams, and when they faced good teams, they often got whacked, and they had a negative point differential. Cleveland's got no history. J.J. Watt's going to pick a winner. Cleveland's got no history of back-to-back years in success. They made the playoffs back-to-back years since the 80s. I mean, just think about that. That's over 30-some years ago. Secondly, they've never made a real commitment to Baker Mayfield right now, so we don't know what their future is. And third, their schedule's brutal next year. Next year, their road schedule is the Packers, the Chiefs, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Patriots. Minnesota's going to bounce back. They're not going to be that bad. And the Chargers with Justin Herbert in year two. So I don't know who the new four teams are going to be in the playoffs, because there are going to be four new teams minimum next year in the playoffs. It's the way it's worked 30 straight years. My guess is the Miami rebuild will keep getting better. They had a very good draft. I suspect they'll have another one. Miami will creep in. They got close this year. I suspect the San Francisco 49ers will not have nearly as many injuries. I would guess the 49ers get in. And my two teams right now this morning, and I haven't laid it all out yet, but the Saints are not going to be the same team. They're not. Okay, they got cap issues. They got to let guys go. They don't have Drew Brees leadership. And Cleveland, it was a lot of mirage last year. I was there for it. I thought they'd be a playoff team. They're not going to be a playoff team. And J.J. Watt's not going to an inconsistent franchise. He can cherry pick. He's a free agent. He can cherry pick anybody he wants to go to. He needs to go to Green Bay or Kansas City, not only because you got winning organizations and a history of smart front office moves. The second thing is they lead games at halftime, meaning he can pin his ears back, get more sacks, get more hits, get more interceptions, get more fumbles. That's how his contract is largely going to be structured, my guess today. All right, here's a story that's interesting. So we got a lot of this stuff. This Carson Wentz thing, according to multiple sources who I trust, is going to happen here really quick. So he's out of Philadelphia. He's out. They're done. Whatevs. Whether you like Jalen Hurts or not, doesn't matter. He's gone. They've made a decision. So the Colts and the Bears are believed to be the two destinations that he's going to land. So we all know that the Colts are smart, measured, have often dominated their division. We know the Colts would be a good destination for Carson Wentz. But as I said yesterday, the Colts are not desperate. They don't have a big brother in the division they're chasing. Let me talk about a sleeping giant in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. I'm going to show you something, and it's really astounding. Should Carson Wentz be interested in Chicago? So none of you think that Mitch Trubisky is the future anywhere. If I said Mitch Trubisky's your new quarterback, none of you would cheer that, right? Like, it's over in Chicago. The last 3 years, I'm going to give you, this is in a windy city with one legitimate receiver. They missed Tariq Cohen last year. Last 3 years of Mitch Trubisky's numbers in Chicago. These are better than Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't think Trubisky's as good as Baker Mayfield, but these are Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield numbers. Look at Trubisky's numbers in the last 3 years with Matt Nagy. 25-13, 65% completion percentage, and a 90 passer rating. Also, 57 TDs, 3 picks. What does that tell you? It tells you that Matt Nagy just needs a quarterback. Mitch Trubisky's numbers are not that far off Matt Ryan in the last 3 years. They're not Matt Ryan. They're not that far off. So everybody understands that Carson Wentz is going to want to land in Indianapolis with the Colts. We all get that. Frank Reich, great offensive line. But I look at Chicago and I think to myself, number one, if you're Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, anybody, Deshaun Watson, you get a great defense. You got the Lions in division. That's two wins a year right there. So you got a doormat in your division. You got, and Trubisky, by the way, Trubisky had played very well against the Vikings also. So you got a doormat in the Lions. You've got an excellent defense. And what's the bar in Chicago? It's not like Carson Wentz would be replacing a legend. They'd move Nick Foles out of town. Nick Foles isn't a cap hit. They'd move him out of town. They move Trubisky out of town. Chicago's arguably the great American sports city. It's one of the great cities in America. This kid grew up in the Dakotas. He doesn't care about cold weather. It's probably close to home. I think the Bears are a little bit of a sleeping giant. And I think the Bears should be favored. Trent Dilfer said this yesterday. I think the Bears should be favored to get Carson Wentz, and they would feel like a playoff team if they got him.
I think Chicago has to panic. They have to knee-jerk react to this. And they will probably offer more than they need to get Carson Wentz. They're the little brother in the division. They have to make this type of splash hire for two reasons. One, they got to be relevant again, and you said it. They got to save their jobs, and draft picks for Ryan Pace aren't as important because he knows he's got to win right now or he's out the door.
All right, coming up next, I wish I wasn't the only person in the media that had to regularly say this, but there's another Russell Wilson story out today. Where there's smoke, there is fire, and I'll address that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good to have you in today. A little energy today. I'm back on my B game. I'm feeling pretty strong. So here's another story I don't buy. It's nothing against the person reporting it. I just don't buy it, that Russell Wilson has his eye on the Cowboys, according to Mike Florio. He was on a Dallas station. He said that. Maybe he was, you know, ingratiating himself to the host. I don't buy this at all. But I will say this. There's a lot of rumblings with Russell Wilson right now. And Russell Wilson never says anything. I take a week off, and he's suddenly Howard Stern. He's controversy at every turn. And Florio says, Russell, eye on Dallas. Now, I don't think it's crazy. Dallas is a kind of a star. You know, Jerry Jones likes to create stars. I think Russell Wilson feels sometimes he's jammed up in the Pacific Northwest. But it is funny. The power of likability. It is really funny. So Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season in 14 years. That's pretty remarkable. He gets ripped all the time. Andy Reid dominated the NFC for 5 years, dominated it, and was good for over 10. They fired him. Belichick dominates the entire league for 20 years. Brady leaves. He's 7-9, and there's critics everywhere. Pete Carroll, crickets. Because he's likable. He's chawing on that gum 100 miles an hour. He's available for interviews. I think Pete's a nice guy. He's a fun guy. He's got big energy. Got big energy, Pete. But does anybody ever go, and I like him, but he was fired twice in the NFL. He left USC and NCAA quicksand. They've never recovered. He was 14-18 before Russell Wilson got to Seattle. His coveted defense his last 4 years have ranked 11th, 16th, 26th, and 22nd. He now has incredible power in personnel. In fact, that's why the GM, John Snyder, almost left to take the Lions GM job. And their draft picks have been all over the map. That Jamal Adams trade, there's no safety in the NFL worth two first-round picks. Pete made that happen. The Rashad Penny first-round pick was a mess. It was a draft loaded with running backs. You could have gotten Rashad Penny in the second, third round. He's never played. There's a Doc Rivers quality here, and I like Doc and I like Pete, but Doc Rivers got fired. Doc Rivers has a presence. Like Pete, he had an early title. He'd been fired a few times, but there's a likability. There's a presence, but Doc Rivers ultimately paid the price last year because the Clippers underachieved. And you tell me, since they won the Super Bowl, doesn't it feel kind of like Seattle is making crap up as they go? Kind of? I mean, in 2018, they lead the NFL in rushing. Lead the NFL. 2019, like 19th. Just stop running the ball. Jamal Adams trade, offensive line always feels suboptimal. Even in Los Angeles, if you mention Pete, if you criticize him, people don't like it. There's just, Seattle feels like something is off. We ripped Tomlin. We ripped Belichick. We ripped Andy Reid. We criticize everybody. Has anybody ever said that that franchise up in Seattle feels lopsided? Pete controls personnel. Pete controls the defense. Pete controls the offensive line. The offense looks prehistoric. Just a little pushback? A little? I'm not asking for dismissals and firings, but it is interesting. There is this Pacific Northwest shield around Pete, and it the downside to having all that power, and outside of Belichick, nobody in the NFL has more power than Pete Carroll. Andy Reid does not have this much power. Brett Veach runs personnel. Sean Payton does not have this much say. Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland run personnel. Pete and Belichick run their franchises. By the way, neither has been great on draft day the last 4 or 5 years. Just saying. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Lakers are expected to be without Anthony Davis until at least the All-Star break in March. He was diagnosed with a calf strain, but the MRI revealed no rupture of the Achilles tendon, which is obviously great news.
That's correct.
He'll be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, and the team reportedly plans to be conservative on a timeline for his return. He's averaging 22.5 points per game, 8.4 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, and 53.3 field goal percentage. This year, obviously, having Anthony Davis around is a huge bonus for the Lakers, but this isn't terribly surprising considering Anthony Davis's very long and storied injury history.
Yeah.
But obviously, the main concern was that Achilles. Anytime you say Achilles, it's full panic mode because we know how long that recovery process is compared to many other injuries. But I do think that this was kind of inevitable when it comes to the Lakers. There was going to be somebody who came out of the bubble that was going to deal with an injury at some point early this season.
Yeah.
Every other team that was in the bubble late has dealt with injuries. Obviously, the Heat have been decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
Look at the Nuggets, the Celtics. Like, this was kind of expected. And then, obviously, Anthony Davis does have a long history of injuries. I don't think this is anything to worry about right now, but I do think that the Lakers should be extremely conservative with Anthony Davis because they don't have some of the issues that some younger teams have or teams that haven't just won a championship have with chemistry. We obviously know that Anthony Davis and LeBron are comfortable. This isn't a huge deal. The bigger concern to me is how many minutes LeBron is already playing and right. How many minutes he's going to have to keep playing. But I mean, home court advantage isn't going to be that big of a deal in the playoffs. I'm assuming that we're not. Obviously, we don't know. God willing, we all have fans filled in the stadium soon. But conservatively speaking, I'm not assuming that's going to happen for the playoffs. So, you know, having home court advantage isn't the same as it is in years past. So I'm not concerned about it. You want everybody that all your stars healthy going into the playoffs. So just be conservative as you can with Anthony Davis during the season.
And to me, the Lakers' chemistry has already been good this year. So unlike the Clippers last year, who had some injuries and rested guys, they never had a cohesiveness, and that ultimately was their undoing in the playoffs. As long as you've got chemistry formed, I could. If Anthony Davis didn't show up for 2 months, we know the thing about Anthony Davis and LeBron, which was kind of shocking, is how seamlessly their games worked the first week they were together. So for me, as long as chemistry is not an issue, and with the Lakers, even Schroeder, it's not. It all works. Everybody falls in line behind LeBron and AD. So if chemistry is not an issue, you don't have to build that with new pieces. Who cares? Rest him, bring him back in 6 weeks. And to your point, home court advantage means almost nothing. Really,
it doesn't. And the Lakers are 10-4 without AD since he joined the team, and 4-1 without him this season. So they know how to make it work. So with the NBA trade deadline approaching in late March, the Cavs have decided to sit Andre Drummond while they look for a trade partner, and the Pistons are doing the same thing with Blake Griffin, and that's not sitting well with Draymond Green, who sounded off about the trend last night.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him, is bullshit. Because when James Harden asked for a trade, he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional, and if not, his career is on the line.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. That's the reality. NBA's been doing that for years.
I don't disagree with it, but, and that's why I'm very pro-player and very anti-loyalty to organizations, because at the end of the day, this is what happens, and it is their profession. But the key word there is profession. The reason why these teams aren't playing these guys is because they want to keep their trade value up. They don't want to risk them getting injured.
Right.
But there's an expectation of professionalism from both sides. I didn't like how James Harden handled the situation. If he wants out of Houston, fine. But don't go out partying during COVID.
Right.
Don't show up late or skip practices. Don't be disrespectful to the rest of the team. There's an expectation of professionalism.
Yeah.
Asking to leave an organization is one thing. That doesn't mean that you're not a professional. It just means that the situation is not working for you. And people break contracts all the time. But there is an employee, there is an organization, there are contracts, there is a structure to all of this. So yes, like, this is how the teams handle things.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't be loyal to teams. That's why this like, not to, you know, put Bradley Beal in this, but like, loyalty to an organization does not make sense to me. Do what's best for you, do what's best for your career. But at the end of the day, the expectation of professionalism should always remain. This is what you do for a living. You handle things like James Harden, of course people are gonna be upset with you. That wasn't a professional way of doing things.
Yeah.
He could have asked for a trade and then say, I'm not gonna participate in practice until I'm traded because I don't wanna get injured or whatever, but there's a way to handle things. I agree with everything Draymond's saying, but there's a way to go about things where you don't leave a sour taste in everyone's mouth. So Tom Brady's 7th Super Bowl win was the exclamation point on an incredible first season away from New England. During an appearance on Inside the NFL on Showtime, Bruce Arians said he believes Brady made the move to Tampa because he wanted to prove he could win without Belichick.
His competitive spirit is so strong that he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He wanted to show people. I've never said anything bad about Bill Belichick. I know everybody tries to say I do because his record speaks for itself. He is probably the greatest one ever. But I think he wanted to try a different way.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. By the way, it worked, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay being part of a system. We see this all the time in corporate America, where people are part of a corporation, they're an executive, they do well, and at some point they get kind of turned off by the, you know, the pressure from the corporation. They go out and they form their own business. And Brady's like, all right, I kind of want to be more of a free spirit. I want to kind of do things. I want to have a say in personnel. And by the way, as somebody pointed out yesterday on our show, Leonard Fournette scored in the Super Bowl, Antonio Brown scored in the Super Bowl, and Gronk scored in the Super Bowl. Those were all three Brady guys. So, you know, he wanted all those guys, and they all scored. So maybe Tom's got a little sense of personnel that works too.
Well, we had these conversations about who was more responsible for the New England dynasty for years before Brady even left. Was it Bill? Was it Brady? What percentage do you give Bill because he handles the roster? What percentage do you give Brady because he's on the field? I still don't know that we'll ever really have the answer of who was more responsible, but we know that Brady was the one who got it done at the end of the day because he's validated in what he did in Tampa.
Yeah.
He is the engine that makes all of that go. Belichick may have put together the structure and established the culture and set up the way that all of it was going to work, but Brady was the engine that made it go. And I don't know whether like credit really matters when it comes to the New England dynasty, because I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that again in the history of the NFL. It was just too much and too perfect, and too many things had to go the way that it did for it to end up that way.
Yeah.
But I get excited because I'm like, man, I can't wait until like the documentaries come out and the
right.
books come out and
right.
we get all the like behind the scenes juicy stuff, because it's so fun. This Tampa Bay Super Bowl has just been amazing.
Yeah, Florida's had a history of this. The Heat, the Marlins, and now maybe the Buccaneers, where no state tax, weather is warm. A lot of these leagues are in the deep fall in the winter. It is easy to talk players to come down to a Florida team. Say, come on down in the warm weather. We're winning. We're good. This puppy won't last forever. But for 2 or 3 years, you can be part of something special. It feels like Florida organizations are not always brilliantly run, but they're very attractive as you age as a professional athlete. your bones get a little sore. The weather's good. The humidity's good. The state tax is nothing. Your family's got a ton to do when you're at practice. So it feels like the Bucks. I saw a story yesterday. Tom's out there saying, come on down and join us. I can see where guys are totally looking for one-offs and one-year deals in Tampa. That's Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right, it's good to be back. This is my second day back from a little bit of a medical scare last week. I'm fine. It's all good. A little pain. I'm built for it. My buddy Ryan Rosillo, he's got a great podcast at The Ringer, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, The Best or Nothing. God, well, you, Rosillo and I used to hang out, but apparently I'm a physical liability now. You gotta have a doctor on dial when you go out with me, Rosillo. So how are things in your life? How are you doing?
I'm good. I was telling you, if you're going to dip your toes into the PEDs, you just had to, you know, because I know you're trying to keep this appearance up, so I'm worried about you, big guy.
I'm doing okay. So it's funny. I take a week off with Russell Wilson, and suddenly he's Mr. Controversy. And my gut feeling on this, Ryan, is when guys who don't talk suddenly talk, there's something, right? Like, this is not just an off-season story. I just saw a story by Florio today. That's like the fifth story I've seen in 3 days. Somebody's talking in his camp, right?
Okay, so if we back up a few years, I remember back when we were working together all the time and we would talk about different guys. Like, I think Russell Wilson's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. I argue for his cause all the time, but he's arguably the single worst interview in sports today. All right? And if you go back and look at any time he's ever done anything, he is in a rush to go off the checklist of, man, that O-line, and man, the running backs are terrific, and DK, these guys, and Tyler, they're making plays, and the coaching staff got us ready. And it's like this like repetitive spoken word deal where you're like, okay, we got it. You want to seem like you're the guy checking off all the boxes so that you're giving everybody else a compliment. And that's his routine, and that's the way he wants to present himself. I find it very scripted and honestly incredibly boring, but that tells me that him leaking or leaning towards anything where there's maybe a, hey, you know, maybe I'm not going to be here, or maybe I am available in trade, is so much more for him than it would be anyone else. So I actually, look, I don't know if he's ever going to leave, but I thought that was a tactful commentary by him because he's never done anything like that before.
Yeah. So there's a couple of, I mean, it's the NBA has always been the transactional league. You know, I would argue the playoffs are my favorite thing. The transactions are my second favorite thing. And regular season is often third. And I don't feel that with football because I still love the television product. But it is becoming more of a transactional league. And we've already seen Stafford and Goff, and we got Deshaun coming up. The J.J. Watt is interesting to me. I think we would both agree Wisconsin, Green Bay kind of feels like a fit. There's a story out today in Cleveland. So, by the way, J.J. loves these stories out because, you know, he's an aging player. He's expensive. Is there a fit for JJ that works? Is there a rumor you buy, a rumor you don't? What is your gut feeling going forward next 2 or 3 years with JJ Watt?
I'd imagine he wants to go somewhere where he has a chance to win above anything else. You know, the Green Bay thing, I mean, I think we can make it a little bit more complicated than he went to Wisconsin, so of course he's going to want to be a Packer. I think, you know, as far as like looking at cap sheets and all that kind of stuff, you can figure out a transaction, especially for somebody at JJ at this point of his career. I thought he played well last year. I really did.
Yeah, he did.
I feel like that's like he was so dominant for so many years, and we know what happens with any player. When you don't look like that version of yourself, you're only being compared to yourself. I thought he was a terrific player last year. I mean, maybe terrific's a little high, but like I felt like he was actually impacting the pocket and a guy that you would want on your team. And considering, look, people can make fun of him, but we at least know he cares and he wants to win. And I can't imagine that he's going to go to any of these rumors where it's a team that doesn't have a really good chance of coming out of their conference. I don't buy it.
Yeah. So let me throw we know Carson Wentz is leaving Philadelphia. You're the G. I mean, you and I do this if we have beers, that it's fun. If we weren't doing what we were doing, I think we'd love to run teams. I would love to be a GM someday.
I'd love to trade with you.
Yes.
I'd love to be the GM. Be like, hey,
oh, Rosillo,
like, this guy would be great. The Rust Belt culture.
So Wentz is interesting. Because there's a lot of psychology here. Chicago would have to get rid of Nick Foles. Just get him out of town before he shows up with a U-Haul van. The Colts obviously feel right. But you would have to, as a general manager, you would have to buy Ryan. You can correct him. Because it ain't right now. It's not good. Are you a buyer for second chance Carson Wentz today if you ran a team?
I am. I am. And I'll tell you why. It was ugly. It was ugly this year. But going back 2 years ago to carry those numbers over, I mean, he was throwing to guys that were playing quarterback in college, street free agents, and you still felt like they had a bit of a chance. So I don't know what happened this past year. I don't know if he's the bad guy. Maybe they're all the bad guy. You know, I don't know who's complicit in this entire story. But I do know this. If you've talked to anyone that has run a team or coached an NFL team, and if they don't have a solution at quarterback, there's so much more value in a guy that's had the good runs like Carson Wentz has had. And the other thing I think we've all learned about Wentz, like when you have Dilfer or I have him on or any of these guys that ever play that position, they are so enamored with Wentz's physical abilities that maybe sometimes it overshadowed some of the decision-making, because they'd always be like, that throw right there, nobody else can make that throw. Carson Wentz is the only guy. And you'd be like, really? He's the only guy? Like, all right, maybe three guys. But those are those throws. So that's why so many former players love this guy so much. But the former GMs and coaches, whenever they're looking at their checklist of guys that they can find that are out there, the fact that he even has a 2017 on his resume makes him more appealing. And so I think the social media aspect of this, the news part of it, Colin, all the talk shows, they're so anti-Wentz that I feel like I'm a buyer just going in the opposite direction of people acting like he's incapable of ever doing the job again. And that seems pretty extreme.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's interesting. We all know he's good. Listen, Houston says they don't want to move off him. I think the Carolina stuff makes sense. You could give him Bridgewater, McCaffrey, three or four first round picks. You know, you're never going to get equal value, but I do think Carolina's got some receivers. I like Matt Rhule. I think Deshaun in that division, Breeze is leaving, Brady's old, and Matt Ryan's past his peak. The Carolina stuff feels kind of right. Is there a move for Deshaun that works for you?
He'd have to, you know, he's got to be in a situation where he likes the coach for like the first time ever in his career, because it never happened with Bill O'Brien. This stuff had been going on for a while. And now he's even in a worse situation where, you know, I think it's kind of interesting how this has played out, where it's like, oh, Brett Favre and Dick Vermeil said this. Almost everybody else is on Deshaun Watson's side. Colin, like literally everybody is in support of him, because have you seen anyone in the media being like, hey, take it easy on the Texans? Like, nobody's on their side. So, you know, we found like the two guys, one guy that's old school and another guy that's even older school, and Favre, who's a bit of a hypocrite considering how he held the Packers hostage when he retired four straight years. So for Deshaun here, I just want to see him. I don't know, obviously, him well enough to go which coaching staff is he more aligned with. But you should be able to give up three firsts for him and feel good about it. I mean, not that the Trevor Lawrence thing would ever even happen, but if you were the Jags and you could say, like, hey, we'll give you Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun, you'd do it in a second because of his age and the fact that we've already seen him do it. So three first-rounders for some of these quarterbacks that we've never even seen play in the game. Like, we've never actually seen them do it on Sundays, and teams are moving three first-rounders for these guys. I'd do that in a second for a guy like Deshaun. Throw in the running back. It doesn't matter. I just want him to go somewhere where he's happy with the coaching staff, because it's never happened for him, really, I think, with the Houston Texans.
All right, the Ryan Russillo podcast. We got to get together soon. As you well know, I'm leaving your neighborhood. So I only got like six.
I know.
It's not going to be the same without me. I'm not going to be humble.
Did you tell Vince Vaughn yet?
I haven't seen Vince lately. I've been spending time in hospitals. So, you know, I haven't had time to talk to Vince Vaughn. All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
I'll tell him.
All right. Hey, Ryan Russillo, The Ringer. Good podcast. By the way, the Carolina situation is really interesting, and I buy it, and there's a little smoke this morning, according to legitimate people inside that organization, and I'll tell you why it makes a ton of sense. Plus, LeBron, could he play in the NFL? LeBron says so. Thoughts on that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, I was thinking about this today as I was drinking coffee coming to work. And I looked down and I had dress shoes on. And I said, why do I wear dress shoes? Half of my job's on radio. Nobody can see. I think this point forward, I'm going tennis shoes. Rest of my life. I wore tennis shoes all last week. I didn't have to show off or anything. You know, dress shoes. And I thought to myself, why am I wearing dress shoes? Would you wear anything that's less comfortable? No. This point forward, why my wife hates when I wear tennis shoes. I'm going to wear tennis shoes. And I'll have to deal with that part of it later. I'm all tennis shoes now, starting tomorrow. Yeah. She'll be yelling at me, but my feet will be comfortable. So, you accept some things and deal with other things. So there's a story this morning. The Panthers, Carolina, would go all in for Deshaun Watson. They would give three first-round picks, Christian McCaffrey and Teddy Bridgewater. And I think it actually works for both teams. So I think Deshaun works for the Jets. I think Deshaun works for Carolina. I think he works for a lot of people, but here's why it works. First of all, Christian McCaffrey's still a star, but he got banged up last year. He's a running back. Once they start getting banged up, they generally don't get healthier. Number two is three first-round picks for a quarterback. Jamal Adams got two. He's a safety. I do it in a second. But there is this assumption in the NFL that you draft a quarterback, and then over time, you develop a quarterback, and then Super Bowls follow. But let's just think about the last 5 years. Tampa acquires Tom Brady, right, Ryan? Okay. And then they won Super Bowl. And then Peyton Manning went to Denver. And then Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco. I didn't draft those quarterbacks. By the way, the Saints never drafted Drew Brees. If you just look at Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Garoppolo in the last 5 years, teams don't draft them. Teams don't develop them. They just go acquire them, find them, get them, trade for them, free agent, whatever. And they get to Super Bowls, three of the last 5 years. Let me throw two other quarterbacks out there. Ryan Tannehill was acquired. Kirk Cousins, say what you want. Minnesota, until last year, had been a very high-end NFC team. Again, Drew Brees was not drafted or developed by the Saints. Carolina's got the number 8 pick, and this is really valuable. Carolina would have to give up. To get the quarterback they want in this draft, they would probably have to give up picks to move up. So why not just give up picks and get Deshaun Watson? What's the difference is I know what I get with Deshaun Watson. And I think if you look in division for Carolina, this makes sense. Brees is retiring, Matt Ryan's past his peak, and Brady's old. And I also think from the Houston Texans perspective, first of all, what you need is first-round picks. You get three minimum. What you need is a little star power. Christian McCaffrey is star power. What you need is a bridge quarterback and a quarterback for the future. Well, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 last year, not this past year, the year before when he had to start in New Orleans. So you'd get a bridge quarterback, kind of an Alex Smith-level guy for a year, who's a very good mentor, very smart guy, and then you could take that 8 pick and you could draft another quarterback because there's 5 quarterbacks going to get drafted in the first round. Mac Jones is probably 5. You'd probably get Trey Lance, who, by the way, Trey Lance has a little Deshaun Watson where he, you know, he's a winning quarterback. He's got a lot of mobility. He's got an above average arm. He's a playmaker. That's what Deshaun is. Deshaun's not your classic pocket guy, but he's a playmaker. So if I'm the Houston Texans, I could get Bridgewater Bridge for a year. I get a star running back. I get draft picks. I got J.J. Watt just left. Deshaun just left. So now I have some draft capital. I mean, you got to remember what Houston has. They have a dilemma. They got no draft picks and no cap space. And this could take care of a lot of that stuff. So I don't think it's crazy. I don't believe this. There's only one way to do it with quarterbacks. Peyton Manning wasn't drafted by Denver. Brady wasn't drafted by Tampa. Garoppolo wasn't drafted by the Niners. Ryan Tannehill not drafted by the Titans. Kirk Cousins not drafted. You can go acquire guys. And I think what you're going to see is, and you're really going to see this with Chicago and Indianapolis, where Chicago's defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. They probably need to get a quarterback. They absolutely need to get a quarterback. And they probably have to have a fairly strong draft on the offensive line at wide receiver. I'm not sure if Allen Robinson wants to stay. Maybe he does if Wentz comes. Big-armed Wentz and Allen Robinson, to me, would be a great combo. And the Colts, similarly. Colts I don't necessarily buy San Francisco's moving off Garoppolo. I keep hearing that. I have a hard time believing a quarterback goes like 26-6 and you got to the Super Bowl in his first year as a starter. You know, everybody is absolutely sure the Cowboys won't move off Dak, but everybody's sure the Niners will move off Garoppolo. Well, Garoppolo has a higher winning percentage than Dak. And I just don't believe Kyle Shanahan's going to trade Garoppolo and go into a season trying to, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's got to start winning games. Right now, it's all based on reputation, his dad, what we think he will be as a coach. He's got to win more games now. So I think Garoppolo wins games. So we'll see how it goes. But this one I kind of buy into with Deshaun Watson. I think it works for both teams, and I'd like to see it happen. And Deshaun Watson's miserable. He doesn't want to play in Houston. And, I mean, I understand he signed a contract. I get it. But the reality is, do you want somebody in-house That's miserable. And the answer is almost always in sports, no. You don't want a coach that wants another job, and you don't want a quarterback that wants to play somewhere else. And it just happens to be a year. You could get Bridgewater and a rising star in the draft. Go for it. Quarterback dominoes will make predictions next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.